Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's not just your business. It's 10 years of planning, saving, and risk-taking. It's not just another order. It's a chance to gain a loyal customer. It's not just a box. It's how they'll remember you. And Staples Connect isn't just a store. It's where you'll find innovative tools your small business needs, like premium shipping supplies to give your customers a one-of-a-kind unboxing experience. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or at staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store.
Having a larger family is challenging, but one of the most challenging times in my life as a mom of four is being in the car with my kids, whether they want to know how many minutes are we there yet, or my boys who are 18 months apart fighting and punching each other in the head, or the baby waking up from his nap and starting to cry. Car rides are just a pressure cooker for our family. And finally, I realized I needed a go-to for myself and for the kids to try and make our car rides to and from school or to and from errands better for everyone. And we have really taken to a couple of podcasts to listen to with our kids. One of them is the American History Tellers podcast, which I'm so obsessed with. It's made for adults, but we listen to it with our kids and learn so many things through narrative storytelling. But another one, maybe you heard of it, another podcast that our family loves is the Wow in the World podcast, hosted by Mindy Thomas and Guy Raz. It is a science podcast for kids, but parents, we get a lot of information out of these episodes too. They have really fun characters, and you kind of never know what amazing and interesting topic you're going to get when you hear the latest episode. And they're the perfect length to get me to and from school drop off without people screaming at each other. We all need all the mom hacks that we can get. So putting on some great audio when I'm driving, well, that's definitely mine. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast, where we have honest conversations about modern motherhood. I am Liz Tennedy, the co-founder of Motherly, and I'm a mom of four myself. And all this month, we're focusing on play, whether that means bringing more fun into your life as a person and a mother or into your kids' lives. Today, we're talking to Mindy Thomas, who's one half of the wildly popular podcast that our family and many others love. That's the Wow in the World podcast and host of Two What's and a Wow podcast. She's also the Gracie Award-winning host of the Absolutely Mindy Show. She brings a sense of play, curiosity, and imagination to everything she touches. Her shows are fun and educational and full of energy in the very best way. We talked to Mindy about the new best-selling book she wrote with her co-host, Guy Raz, titled Wow in the World, The How and Wow of the Human Body. Mindy also talked about her quirky and playful childhood, and how, in her house, she's able to make every day a guest day. Mindy Thomas, welcome to the Motherly Podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's so good to be here.
You are a celebrity in my house. This was the biggest deal, so I'm so excited to have you here. The theme of our podcast this month is play. And you seem to have no trouble channeling your inner child on your show and in your professional life. And I'm wondering how you bring a sense of play to motherhood as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was one of those kids that really loved being a kid. And Guy and I have talked about this. Guy, my co-host for Wow in the World and our co-author on our book. And I loved being a kid, and he was a kid who couldn't wait to grow up. And I ask that to people a lot. Like, were you the kind of kid who liked being a kid? Like, were you?
No, I wanted to be like an adult ever since I, you know, knew what an adult was.
And did you want to be an adult, or did you want to pretend that you were an adult?
I was a serious kid. I was. Yeah. I liked being serious. I relate deeply to what Guy said.
Okay, so that's so interesting to me. Yeah, I loved being a kid. I had a great early childhood, just a lot of free play. And what kids are going through right now, this last year of the pandemic, was my childhood, probably a lot of ours. Like, we didn't have a lot of activities or things scheduled, so it was just playing in the neighborhood, playing in my room by myself, making up stuff. And so I think that as I grew up, I never really lost that. I think I've incorporated play into so many things. I mean, Jennifer Gardner has her pretend cooking show, and I relate to that so much. And I think probably most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we do too, where even in your adult life, you feel like you are still that kid that you were in third grade. I think in life, I'm like, what's the most fun thing? Like, what's the most fun option when I'm faced with making a decision? I find myself saying yes to things because, I don't know, it might be a good story in the end. And I encourage my kids to do that. And with that, you might make mistakes and you might get messy and you might have failures, but that's how we learn. And that's what life is all about. It's making these memories and experiences that you don't get from playing it super safe all the time, as we grown-ups tend to do.
I am a safe player. That is me. So yes, I'm going to try and take all this wisdom. So it sounds like there's been a thread from your childhood. I know your mom was a preschool teacher and your dad was an engineer who really encouraged and nurtured this sense of creativity and curiosity within you. But I am curious, coming from that upbringing and keeping that sense of just fun and adventure that you seem to bring to everyday life, was there something about motherhood that surprised you, or something really unexpected going from being a kid and a young adult to being a parent?
I knew even as a kid that I wanted to be a mom. That was never, ever a question. I've always loved kids. I think I love kids more now than when I was a kid. You know, like, I had my friends, but now I have a new appreciation for kids. I think having kids, and I'm not the first person to ever say this, but they do keep you young if you let them. And they do help you to experience the world in new ways and to see the world in new ways. I think that's been a surprise to me as an adult, is getting to experience the world through my kids' eyes.
I was thinking about how in our culture, we often think of the parent-child relationship as one of parent teaching and indoctrinating the child in how to be an adult. And yet on your shows, there seems to be a thread of, I want to say respect, but also a real sense of what children have to teach adults and what it means to be human that sometimes we lose as we grow up.
It is just as important to learn from your kids as it is to model how to be a human to them. And I think that if we don't stop and listen to them, especially this generation of kids that's growing up in a world that's completely different from the world that we grew up in, these kids are smart and they're savvy and they're so, so thoughtful in a way that I don't know that I was. I don't know that my friends were as kids. So as a parent, I'm a fierce protector of childhood, but at the same time, I don't treat childhood like this precious thing where I want to just keep kids innocent at all costs. And that might be a surprise to some people, you know, given what I do. I'm speaking as a parent of my own kids, but we talk about everything in an age-appropriate way when they're ready to ask about it. But I have this thing, and my husband does too, that we don't want there to be something that a kid finds like, oh, so taboo. Like, oh, I could never mention that to my mom. My mom wouldn't understand that. I want them to know, like, we know what's going on. I respect you enough. We're a family. We're roommates in this house. We'll talk about anything. I think that helps to build trust between parents and kids. My kids are 10 and 13 right now. I'm setting the stage so that when they get deeper into those teenage years or in their early 20s, that they'll be able to come back and talk to us about things and we won't freak out or be totally shocked or be like, oh, kids these days, or blow them off. Like, every feeling matters. Every question matters.
You also learn a lot from kids on your shows. Is there a unifying theme between these two shows and the work that you spend your life doing?
I think imagination is at play in everything that I do. So on my morning show, on the Absolutely Mindy show, there's lots of chance for kids to use their imagination, whether they're solving a problem or a mystery, or we're playing a made-up game. And on Wow in the World, which is a show about science and technology and the new discoveries happening every day, we try to highlight the imagination of scientists. And this was something that I realized after really getting into Wow in the World that I didn't know was how much scientists and kids are alike. Mm. They are imaginative. The reason we just landed a rover on Mars is because someone imagined, wait, we could do this. Like, how do we? And then these great minds got together. So scientists are not afraid to ask ridiculous questions. They're not afraid to get their hands dirty. They're not afraid of what they don't know. And that is something that's so beautiful in childhood that I love. And I think that so often adults are so afraid to say, I don't know, whether it's to their kids or in a meeting or to a coworker or another adult. We don't know. We're all just making it up and we're figuring it out. So I wish that there was like we would take a cue from kids and just be okay with what we don't know and know that there's plenty left to learn and we're always going to be learning.
You mentioned how our kids' generation is being raised with different cultural values, cultural conversations. And a big one that came to mind for me was around science and girlhood. I can't say that when I was growing up in the 90s that science was necessarily presented as a girl thing to me.
Yeah.
And I was reading about how you had to get your own training because you hadn't come to Wow in the World with the background of a science reporter, which is its own skill set. What are you witnessing in terms of the evolution of the way that we talk about the role that science plays in our world and how this next generation, especially of girls, can feel just as a part of STEM, yeah, being a part of their futures? What are you seeing?
On Wow in the World, we do our best to highlight both online, which is, you know, parents are online, kids are not, but hopefully parents will share some of these women scientists that we feature on our social media pages, but also in our shows, we look for a good balance of different scientists from different backgrounds and around the world. And there's so many amazing women scientists. One of my favorites that comes to mind, she is a scientist who studies wombat poop. That's what she does. That's her job.
I listened to that episode.
Yeah. And, you know, she also studies barf and other things that come out, but poop was her thing. And I just love that because when you think of a scientist, you're not thinking about someone who studies wombat poop. I also did not grow up loving science. I didn't hate science, right, but it was taught to me in a really dry way. It was kind of academic. I had no idea really how some of these concepts applied to the larger world. And so that's why all of the stories that we find are new stories from peer-reviewed scientific journals to show, okay, here's the things that you're learning in school. Here's how it's applied to the world. Here's how it affects you. And also for my role on the show, yep, I want girls to know that, I want everyone to know, just because it's science doesn't mean it needs to be really serious and academic. It could still be fun, and that there's lots and lots of different ways of being a female or a woman or a girl in science. You can be silly, or you can be that quiet girl in the back of the room. There's not one way of being a woman in STEM. And for me, my entry to STEM is that I'm a science communicator, yes, for kids. That's a job in STEM too. I have so much fun doing this because I have to break these journal studies down to where I can understand them first. And, you know, we work with other science experts to make sure that we've got everything right. But I'm coming at this from the same wonder that a kid would, because I haven't been steeped into this my whole career. And we're covering so many different branches of science. So it's really fun for me. And I hope that the fun comes out in our work.
It definitely comes out in your work. And by the way, listening to the Wow in the World podcast is the best way to prevent siblings punching each other in my minivan. So
thank you for that. Unintended consequence.
Thank you for that. But you You're also welcome. Have a new best-selling book out called Wow in the World, The How and Wow of the Human Body. I want to talk about this book, but I just also want to say how visually interesting the book is. It's like a coffee table book for kids. And I know in the audio environment, one of the advantages of listening to a podcast is that you can kind of let your imagination take you places, right? I was reading how Reggie, a character on your show, different kids can interpret what Reggie is like or looks like in different ways. But it's just fun to see this brand, Wow in the World, come to life in this visual way. Yeah. And I love it. My kids are obsessed with it. Can you talk a little bit about this book and why focusing on the human body? What were you hoping for?
Okay, well, first of all, you mentioned the visual aspect, and I just have to give a shout out to our amazing illustrator, Jack Teagle. He's out of the UK, and he just ran with it. As my mom puts it, my mom, who knows me better than anyone, says, it's like he went into your brain and then illustrated it. And I was like, that's happening the same thing. So he's amazing. We decided to do our first big book about the human body because we wanted something that every kid can immediately relate to, and that is our bodies. We all have one, and we're dragging these things around with us all over the place, and it is just amazing. It's fun to think, like, there's a skeleton inside your body and turning it inside out a little bit. We also wanted to create something that had lots of points of entry, so you can pick up this book and open it up to any page. And for different types of readers or different ages of kids or levels, there's bursts and there's comic panels for kids to open it up and you find something that's interesting wherever you are.
So the page that I opened up to, of course, as a mom, I was like, what are they going to say about the birds and the bees, right?
Oh, yeah.
So my kids range from being 2 to 9 years old, and I am trying to be a generation of a parent that can, like you were saying, just talk about facts in science and just make it normal, right?
Yeah, it's just normal.
And
just is.
I have to say, it's very inclusive, so it doesn't presume that woman is going to get married to a man.
Right.
It doesn't impose one way or the other on people, but it's very matter of fact. I just want to talk about why it was important to include the circle of life within this book, as well as a chapter on puberty that I think really helps destigmatize what's happening to kids' bodies when they go through this massive life change.
So this book is intended for kids kind of pre-puberty or maybe just on the cusp of it. And so the whole book is an introduction to your body. This is not the most comprehensive anatomy book that you will ever find. Hopefully, this is the beginning. Hopefully, this will get you interested enough that the next book you're reading is this deeper anatomy book. So we thought it was important to include a chapter in there on reproduction and the basics of how it's made without it being something that's going to lead to maybe discussions that some parents aren't ready for, but it's enough that if your kid wants to know the next step or like the deeper context, well, hopefully, you know, and there are books, there's wonderful books out there for that. I don't know. Did you have that book, Where Did I Come From, when you were little?
No, see, I was told that I came from hugging and asking God for a baby. That's where I was told babies come from. So I got to be way too old thinking that that is where babies come from, that you hug and then you ask God for a baby and then a baby shows up. So I just knew that I had to just tell my kids the truth. And in the beginning, when they started asking, it was hard. Like, I felt my throat closing up and I could barely talk when they were asking me these questions. But as I practiced just answering their questions and telling them the truth, it got so much easier, and it's not something that stresses me out anymore. And again, that's just what I loved about the approach. It's celebratory. It marvels at the body. It almost pokes fun at the parts of who we are that are, you know, silly or smelly. And I love that about it because I think the more that we can destigmatize conversations, the more comfortable our kids will be in talking to us about it when it really matters.
Oh, yeah. For me, those conversations are not too difficult, but hopefully the way we wrote this and everything we do, including my morning show on Sirius XM, is intended to bring kids and parents together. If whatever we've done leads to a caregiver and a kid having a conversation about something or sharing something that they didn't already know or that you might have not already known, then our job is done. Mm-hmm. So hopefully our section on reproduction and puberty would help parents have those conversations with their kids. It's like, there's your introduction. We've soft sold it. There you go. And the section on puberty is, so my son is 13, just start, you know, a couple little pimples showing up. Mm-hmm. I think he may have shaved a little bit of mustache hair, even though he says he hasn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's an awful time in a kid's life. Like, nobody ever says they want to go back to, like, going through puberty. So let's have fun with it.
Yes.
like we're all in this together.
Yes.
Your parents did this. Here's some things that are going to happen. It's not going to last forever. So yeah, we included that just to give them a little heads up what's happening. Mm-hmm. Not sugarcoating it, but making it fun.
How has motherhood changed for you from having a baby to a toddler to children on the cusp of young adulthood?
Yeah. So every stage, I always say, is my favorite stage. Mm-hmm. And then I look back sometimes and think, like, how did I do that? I mean, I was thinking back to my morning show used to be an afternoon show. And so I would be home with my kids in the morning and getting them off to preschool. And gosh, by the time we got in the car, we would all be crying most days. And then I would drop them off at school and then I would go to work and I would usually be late. And then I would get to work and be like, oh, work, where I could finally relax. And then I would miss them and couldn't wait to get home and see them. And I think now my kids feel like little roommates. They're really fun. I mean, during this pandemic, they're doing school from home virtually. They're finally in school 2 days a week and they're thrilled to be there. You know, it's a good transition from being home all the time. But I don't know. They get more sophisticated as they get older. Their humor is more sophisticated. They troll me a lot more now, but in a way that just makes it like, okay, that was a good one. I can't argue with that. I've loved every stage, and I don't know what's coming next. I mean, my 13-year-old, definitely, he's got a little of that teenage attitude stuff going on. He's still an awesome kid and got a great, bright personality. But we see some of it creeping in, and I think, oh, no, is this like the end of the fun years? But I don't know. We haven't seen it yet. And we laugh a lot. And it's not to say it's always great. We also have our challenges for sure. But I like them. I always tell them, I love you, but I also really like you. Or I wish I knew you when I was your age. My daughter, she likes to write funny things and make up. She's teaching herself how to make these funny commercials and edit them on the iPad. And she's entertaining. I'm like, you're my favorite show. And I think, oh my gosh, if I had known her when I was like, someday I hope I work with you. I don't know.
Do you think of your kids as friends?
I was just thinking about this, and I know you're not supposed to. And I don't know whether I'm getting this right, but I do think of them as friends. And I know that lots of experts would say that's the wrong thing to do.
I ask because I have noticed myself feeling that about my kids, especially as they grow up. I have three sons and a daughter. In particular, as my daughter gets older, I feel this kinship with her that I wasn't expecting, in part because all the quote experts have said, you're not friends with your kid. So I'm like, okay, I am the adult, I am in charge, and we are not friends. But I find myself feeling like friends. And maybe it's the word, maybe friendship isn't the right word, but I guess I think we should be allowed to feel like we are friends with our kids if that's a healthy meaning of that. Why not?
You made these people. You should like them. And I always tell my husband, like, we always have to be looking ahead. And I want to have a close relationship with my kids as they get older. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that is going to look like when, you know, my son, he might start riding his bike to school. And that's a big deal. He has to cross two pretty major intersections.
That feels like a big deal.
It is a big, I'm scared. I'm really scared about it. And he wants to do it so bad. And then I'm like, well, if he rides his bike to school, he's in seventh grade, he's probably going to need a phone. And that has been something that we've put off, and it's been great. But I might have to become a different mom when he gets a phone. I don't know how that will change going into the teenage years. I really don't. And I hope that we are able to stay close. And like, they still like hanging out with us now, but I realize maybe next year he's not going to want to be on vacation with us.
You know, okay. I feel a great Wow in the World episode coming on about the impulse to separate. It's natural, right?
Yeah.
To want that independence. And where does that come from? And how does that manifest in different species? I mean, in birds and, you know, dogs, yeah. like they get kicked out of the nest.
I'll look and see if there's any studies on that. That would be really interesting. Because, yeah, biologically, there comes a point where you do kind of leave the nest or break off from the nest a little bit. And that's an important part of development and growing up.
I also wanted just to talk a bit about your mom, who was a preschool teacher. There's yeah. just something about amazing preschool teachers who just embrace the wonder and joy of toddler life and preschool life, where just kids are so funny and the world is so interesting at every turn. And it does seem to me that some of that openness and optimism, it seems like that's the kind of attitude you've taken with you throughout your life. And I'm wondering if you see it that way at all.
My mom was a young mom. She had me at 23, which back then wasn't unheard of or anything. But my mom always tells me, I didn't know what I was doing when mm-hmm. I had you. And she had three kids. And I just remember my mom kind of being frazzled all the time, mm-hmm. but also being really fun. So we didn't have GPS. And I just remember so often being lost in the car and my mom literally going, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tie, to decide which way to turn. And she would be like, it's an adventure. We're getting lost. And she's still a lot of fun. I feel like I come from a long line of people loving kids. My grandfather was like that. He was the kind of grandpa who liked kids, but knew how to kick them around a little bit mm-hmm. in a way that makes kids happy and have fun with you. So he would act mean, but in a fun, funny way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know the type.
And I think I do that with kids on my morning show all the time. You suss out really quickly, like, is this a kid I can poke a little mm-hmm. bit? Or is this a kid that needs to be handled a little bit more gently? And my mom is the same way. She is still very childlike. You know, she's 66 years old. She's still very childlike. And I think for her teaching preschool, I remember like she'd get this idea to make a castle out of toilet paper rolls. And then she would rally the whole school, every parent in the school, to like, send me all your toilet paper rolls. Send me all your toilet paper rolls. And our house would be full of toilet paper rolls. And she would be so into building this thing. And that, you know, it would take up half the classroom and wasn't what she intended to do, but letting the kids kind of lead the way, playing with them, like getting on the floor with them. She still does that with her grandkids. And my dad is very similar. I mean, they're definitely the art brain and the science brain. But my dad, I spent my whole childhood with the fuselage of an airplane in our garage because he was building a simulator in there as a hobby. That's what he did professionally. He built the visual systems for simulators, but he was building one for a hobby. I was embarrassed because we couldn't put cars in our garage because there was like half an airplane in there. But now I appreciate it. He's kind of a mad scientist. So the two of them together are very funny.
Well, I can kind of see where you get it from then. I know you get up really early for your show and mm-hmm. record weekly for Wow in the World. And just talking to you, I mean, do you get tired?
Oh my gosh, I am 100% of the time.
Oh, you are tired right now. Okay.
So, yes, I was up worrying about stuff at 3:30 in the morning okay. and yeah.
So tell me, yeah. like walk me through the inner life of Mindy because there is this lightness to your personality. I hear you on the show and I even think like, could I ever have that much energy in the way that you present yourself? You know, how do you coach yourself to have that kind of energy and presence that you do? What is it that you do for yourself or within yourself to just maintain that presence and energy?
Well, I think what you're hearing is me having genuine fun. And it's not to say that every day is fun. Some days my morning show is just not clicking. I'm yeah. just like, oh God, I can't pull it together. And I really feel like my energy informs the energy of the kinds of calls I'll get from kids. Sometimes I think like, oh, this is such a bad day, or I'm so tired, I'm so stressed out, I'm burnt out. And then I will start working on this next book that we're doing, for example. And this week, we're trying to do a whole lot right now with Tinkercast, our company, mm-hmm. and just burning the candle at both ends. And I was like, I still have a little bit left that we've got to write for this book. Like, mm-hmm. it's essentially done. But then I was like, we need more on this section. And I just didn't really feel like doing it. And then I was like, I had no choice. I had to sit down and start doing it. And then I caught myself smiling. I was like, I'm having fun. So usually the work is enjoyable. The stress leading up to the work is the worst.
So you brought something for me that's bringing it full circle to our listeners who are mothers. And in a society where so much pressure is put on mothers, having fun is not even on the list, right? So it can feel even more like a grind because we don't have the support that we need.
Yeah, I have a lot of trouble with that, especially recently, just with everything that we're doing, to be honest. It's real easy. When you have a spare moment, you feel like you need to be giving that to your partner or your kids. We put ourselves last so often, but I think I'm still figuring that out myself. I think, gosh, even just having one friend that you can call to go on a walk, saying yes to something that you might be inclined to say no to. My kids and I, before the pandemic struck, I was driving them home from school and it was a snowy day and I saw this mattress that was lying in someone's yard. And I drove past the mattress and I slammed on the brakes and backed up. And they're like, What are you doing? What are we doing? And I was like, kids, like, get out of the car. And they're like, what? And I was like, there's a trash mattress here. We got to jump on this. And they were like, really? What? Seriously? And I was like, yeah. And so we all jumped. It was like in the snow. We're jumping on this trash mattress for a good 20 minutes, laughing our brains out. And then that became a thing. We're like, if we ever see a trash mattress, you have to stop and jump on it. So we did this, like, I don't know, a good half a dozen times at least. And it was so fun. I remember, like, on our neighborhood Facebook group, one mom's like, oh, that idiot mom's out there.
That was you.
It was me. And I was like, yeah, I am an idiot mom. We could probably get bed bugs from this. Who knows? But it was like that kind of joy that, like, you're laughing from your gut. That's better than any workout or anything. We just needed that. Now we don't do it anymore because now I'd really be an idiot, I guess. So sometimes saying yes to things that you would normally say no to, whether it's with your kids or even just to yourself, like, I don't know. And having a friend that you can laugh with, go on a walk with.
Do you have a go-to practice you brought up going for a walk with a friend? Is there something that you do that's like you're dragging, you're in the downward spiral mentally that you pull yourself out?
Yeah, it's not exciting, but it's water and fresh air. I keep meaning to, like, get back into yoga, or I had to, like, quit my gym when the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in the greatest shape of my life. And then that feels bad. And then you're tired and lethargic. But we got a new puppy at the end of the holidays. Like, right after the holidays, it just kind of worked out. And so that's been fun, too. Just, like, going outside and playing fetch with this little pup in the middle of the day. It doesn't take a lot of time. And sometimes I'll be working on something and getting stuck and frustrated and feeling like, oh, well, that's it. I've had my last idea. I don't know how to do this anymore. And then I'll go and play fetch with my dog and come back in and just sometimes stepping away from the grind. We have to take our own little time out sometimes.
So for those who are new to the Wow in the World podcast, is there an episode that you really would recommend to kind of experience some of the fun that you bring to life?
There's one called Are You Smarter Than a Toilet? And we go to the smart toilet convention. I think that's a fun one to listen to with kids. There's some potty humor in it, but it's also informative. And there's another one called So You've Been Eaten by a Frog. And we go into a little gross mindset exercise. It's about a beetle that gets eaten by a frog and can literally climb through the frog's digestive tract, knock on the back door of the frog and get pooped out and then go on to just live its life and possibly get eaten again and do the same thing all over again. So we do
that
a little.
That could come in handy.
Yeah. So we do a guided meditation as you are the beetle going through this frog. And it was such a fun one to write. Yeah. I have so much fun with this show. I learn something new every time. I feel like getting to know these characters on our show. There's Guy and me and our pigeon Reggie. And then we have two elderly neighbors. One is my grandma, Grandma G-Force, and then this knuckle-cracking champion, like grandpa type, named Thomas Fingerling, and our nosy neighbor, Dennis. And none of these characters were ever, we never sat down like, we need other characters on these shows. Like, these characters came to us. They found us when our Dennis came in pure Dennis fashion for anybody who knows our show. I didn't have time for him. I didn't have time to deal with him that day. We're writing the script. I was like, who's going to voice this thing? What's going to? And he's here. Now he's in the script. We got to figure this out. That's what I love about writing more than anything is there's like a magic. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. And then you're done. And you're like, how did I do that? what, did I write that? Or like you, there's like some magic coming through you. And do you have experience like this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes it's just the grind and words are coming out and they're words, but they're not the magic words. And then sometimes it's like your soul pours out and
I know. Like things you didn't know were in you.
Exactly.
That's what I love about it.
There's an element of improv, right? Of this yes and mindset. And a lot of what you've talked about in parenting and in your career. You brought up Jennifer Garner actually earlier. Jennifer Garner has something called a yes day. It's just like a free day, like within some reasonable parameters, she just has to say yes to all of the kids' requests.
Doesn't she have a movie about that
too?
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. And that came out again. There is something to a yes mindset that I hear. And what does that mean to you, I guess, is my question.
To me, that is leaving room for surprise. It's leaving room for fun. It's saying yes when you want to say no. I mean, how often have you heard your kids laughing uncontrollably and your first instinct is to tell them to stop it or to quiet down? They're so happy. They're like euphoric. They're like out of control laughing. And even though you know tears are probably just moments away because it's like you can only sustain that for so long. But your first reaction is to say no. And so often it's just saying yes. It's saying yes to when you have this ridiculous idea to jump on a trash mattress with your kids. I'm so glad I stopped that day. And I'm not always there. There's plenty of other opportunities I'm sure I've driven past. But that's like where memories come from. I would pick that memory over a week at Disney World any day of the week. That's what I want my life to be. And that's what I want my kids to look back at their childhood. And, you know, I remember with my mom with her eeny, meeny, miny, moe and getting completely lost when we were driving places and my mom turning it into a game. That's what I remember. It's not big vacations. It's not the things that cost money. Yeah, say yes. When your instinct says no, maybe question why. And if you can say yes, go for it. See what surprises are waiting for you on the other side.
Well, Mindy, thank you so much for joining us on the Motherly Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great talking with you.
It's not just a box. It's a chance to gain a loyal customer. It's not just an office chair. It's why I'm able to play freeze tag with the kids after working 10 hours. And Staples Connect isn't just a store. It's where you'll find innovative tools for small business and remote workers, like premium shipping supplies that make a statement, and the All 33 Backstrong chair that'll make your body forget that you sat at your desk all day. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or at staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store.
Did you see the movie Yes Day?
Yes Day.
Yes Day?
Yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah.
What does it mean to have a yes day?
It means to say yes for 24 hours.
So if you had a yes day and mom had to say yes to everything that you wanted to do, what would you want to do for your yes day?
Play.
What else?
Get toys. Read. Go outside. Go on races. Go on water balloon races. The water balloon fight was part of the
movie.
Yesterday.
And if there were things, not just at our house, but if there were things out in the world, what would you want to go do for your yes day?
Paris.
Paris?
Ice cream.
Ice cream in Paris?
No. So before I go to Paris, like on my drive there, or on my flight there, I want to get ice cream.
Ooh. Sounds great. Now, did we ever do a yes day?
No.
No. Did we ever have a special day?
Yeah.
What did we do on our special day?
We go to special places with mom and dad.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. Mindy, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We have more great guests coming your way next week. As always, we would love it if you left a review for the Motherly Podcast. So if you can, please go right now
and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That review will take you about 30 seconds, but it really helps other people discover our show. And I love reading your feedback. I read every single one. The Motherly Podcast is produced by Jennifer Bassett with audio engineering from Seaplane Armada. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions. I am your host, Liz Tennedy. Thanks so much for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.